I'm Jess Speer for the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the piece One Thought Fills Immensity, produced for the Rawdia Network by Sarah Washington in collaboration with the Climate Cultural Institution, Cape Farewell. In 2017, the Climate Psychology Alliance invited a group of climate-based researchers, activists, and artists to participate in a psychological research method known as the Social Dreaming Matrix. After viewing powerful artworks related to climate change, the participants were led in a conversation about their dreams, associations, and feelings to uncover and create new meanings. Radio artist Sarah Washington produced the following piece, One Thought Fills Immensity, to help suss out important themes in the cultural subconscious around climate change. This project is the first in a series of projects Washington created around the idea of dreaming, and in particular, collective dreaming and shared dream spaces. Let's hear it now.
Hello, this is a show from Rawdia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
Okay, so welcome everybody to this Social Dreaming Matrix. I'm just going to repeat the task. The task is to express your dreams,
that is to say your nighttime dreams,
while reflecting upon the subject of climate change and artistic expressions of climate change. Allow your dreams to be expressed when you want and if you feel the need to. There's no turn taking. You simply express these dreams whenever you feel it's appropriate. Feeling that it's appropriate is just an instinct you have.
You may hear someone's dream,
and that may trigger a desire in you to express your own dream
because you feel
there's some sort of connection.
You don't have to express the connection, you can just express the dream. In the course of the Matrix,
connecting the dreams in your mind
and the images and feelings associated with the dreams, and as you get towards the end of the Matrix, you'll probably have a sense of a kind of meaning emerging for yourself because of the interconnections you're making between the dreams. We don't interpret those meanings, we don't express those meanings in the course of the Matrix. As people are expressing their dreams and images and feelings, you may have an association to those dreams. And that association may come in the form of some other visual image.
It may be a photograph, an extract from a film, a spontaneous images that arises in you. And you can express those associations as well.
So, it's about expressing dreams, and also it's about expressing associations, feelings, images, and ideas associated to those dreams. We make links and interconnections between the dreams, and in this way, we're hoping to create new thoughts. What is the first dream?
Thank you. in order to increase the speed.
Should I try and turn back? Should I carry on? And I was outside of my abilities and my consciousness.
But the only thing was that we were sailing along at incredible speed, but under the water, and you could see them on, because it wasn't very deep. There were just these buried helicopters. And we were having to sort of zigzag between all these hulks of buried helicopters.
The waves were getting stronger and stronger.
From this slowness and sitting, just drifting along on this, watching this rough sea.
It was almost like a kind of cartoon airplane.
Like a full Boeing 747.
And at the same time, the odd one was, like, for some reason, I was kind of had the engines on as well.
Big coincidence of flying into Cardiff, and kind of a bay, and looking out the window.
No wings and no tail.
Should I try and turn back? Should I carry on?
Plane was up.
But then thought, well, that's stupid, so switch the engines off, and then just had a much more calm setup, but still diving between these helicopters were very unusual.
Plane was up.
For no particular reason.
We knew that people had died, and we couldn't do anything. And we walked through in a bit of a trance-like state. Plane was
up. Take up a lot of room.
And we were going very, very slowly.
The waves were getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, there was a clear influence of
the
tempest.
Walking on the coast with a beautiful, calm bay.
And no one really noticing.
Face up in the water around this kind of shallowish port.
And I went down to the shore to go windsurfing.
It was a cartoon aeroplane, but it wasn't, it was real.
And just seeing this band of water, which
just down
was
driving.
Discoloured.
And no one really noticing. I just thought, no wings and no tail.
I was getting out into the ocean and I realised I was beyond my capabilities.
So an incredibly turquoise blue flat sea with a big wind, completely opposite.
And there are quite a few ships around there.
This thing looks really strange. It's taken up a lot of room.
Causing this discoloration in water.
But like a full Boeing 747.
Plane was up there.
Went down to Brian suddenly.
And there were bodies.
On the road with wheels, so it was a little bit cartoon.
And I went down to the shore to go windsurfing.
And out, around a perimeter, around
the seeing this band of water, which was
ribbon of roughs.
Discoloured.
It was turbulent all the way around, but it never came any closer.
Went down to Brian suddenly. And I got off and just the plane. There was this wee fuselage of the plane with no wings, just parked.
Sailing thing. I was on the boat sailing, and the sea was incredibly calm, and the wind was very, very, very small.
I was getting out into the ocean, and I realised I was beyond my capabilities.
And then I was thinking, well, we're looking at the rough sea, and well, actually, there's no wind there.
It was this.
Just rough sea. So then somehow that metamorphosed.
I got off and it was just the plane.
Thank you.
snowman, the feeling that we ought to be doing something about this. But I didn't know where she lived. I said, Vera, rowing down a river, she's far too frail for that. Hearing that a friend's great-aunt Vera was driving when she shouldn't be, because she was too old and frail. But apparently the way she'd done it was that she had it in Devon, but I didn't know where she lived. An inflatable snowman in the bow of the boat, two ropes attached to it, with the feeling that we ought to be doing something about it. Sorry, we haven't been able to find Vera, but I believe she's not driving, she's actually rowing down the river in a boat. But apparently the way she'd done it was that she had the feeling that we ought to be doing something about this. We haven't been able to find Vera, but I believe she's not driving, she's actually rowing down the river. And if she pulled the snowman so it bent forwards and let go, it sprung back and rowed the boat. I said, Vera, rowing down a river, she's far too frail for that. She said she had found somebody who would be able to track her down. So I went into the local post office store and asked the lady there if she could help, but I didn't know where she lived, apart from the fact that it was in Devon. So she went into the back office, at the back of the shop, came out again and said,
most of the molecule in atom is space. Mm. There's nothing in it except energy. And floating in free air. You think of it as solid, but actually it's just about energy repelling energy. What would need to change to be able to drop through that energy floor? Walking across a floor or an earth. And actually you're just walking across a piece of energy.
On Vera's snowman. And the peculiar magical form of motion. Energy.
Apparently the way she'd done it was that she had an inflatable snowman in the bow of the boat with two ropes attached to it, and if she pulled the snowman so it bent forwards and let go, it sprung back and rode the boat.
This is my science. It's going to make me head.
She's actually rowing in a river.
Can you breathe?
Completely
in chocolate.
Yeah,
she's
rowing
in a river. When you think of that great big rock called Mars, so obsessed with spotting that tiny little space probe that crashed onto its surface.
Somewhere else.
Turning globe with the water, literally turning it blue.
I think young woman was standing on the next pinnacle across, very close to this fall. Very careful minding our feet, but
we are something to be got rid of.
Sort of step casually, and she just stood there.
Of that pain, a volcano coming from the deep, coming from under the water, rushing up through the water, and it was a scream of pure fire of the planet, I guess. With the water literally turning it blue as it washes across.
Turning glow.
Without looking where she was going, and plummet down.
Another woman. I think young woman was standing on the next pinnacle across, very close to this fall, sort of step casually. Without looking where she was going, and plummet down.
I've just remembered I saw Etna. So it's very black on the horizon with red and orange magma pouring out of it.
A scream of pure fire.
Water, water everywhere.
It's an image of the planet.
And she just stood there with a kind of grimace of a smile on her face, which was a face that was almost like a mask of nothing, you know.
Cleansing. Cleansing us.
I couldn't grab him, I couldn't get back to it.
All I really remember was this trying to hold on, trying to stop the water or gather the water as it went through my fingers.
And then I did it again and then kind of turned elbows. That's cool. Yeah, so I was doing a Sudoku with the elbows all through my fingers.
And then wriggle through my fingers. I couldn't hold on to that. I did it again and then kind of turned to elbows.
And all I really remember was this trying to hold on, trying to stop the water or gather the water as it went through my fingers. Where they were meant to be. Trying to hold it back all the time.
And it would fall through my fingers. It was like I was in a river and trying to hold on to the water and I was trying to arrange them in number and they kept moving. I couldn't get them to stop. I dreamt all night and I kept waking up trying to hold on to the dream. And then I kept come back and they changed. It wasn't matching up. And then I did it again, and they would kind of turn to elvers. I couldn't grab them. I couldn't get back to it.
I dreamt all night, and I kept waking up trying to hold on to them.
I couldn't grab them. I couldn't get back to it. To the dream. It was really trying. I knew I had
sticking them in the thing, and then I'd come back and they changed. It wasn't matching up.
Where they were meant to be. It was part of this, trying to hold it back all the time.
It was like I was in a river and trying to hold on to the water as it went through my hands, and I'd scoop the water up.
I was doing a Sudoku with the elvers.
And then wriggle through my fingers. I couldn't hold on to the dream. And I was trying to arrange them in numbers, and they kept moving. I couldn't get them to stop.
I had a dream about stairs. But with
no banisters, so as you went
up, just a drop or revolution in the air, some sort of building. Anarchy, a little bit like the late 60s.
The stairs were sort of incomplete, all the bits of building materials, and there were gaps in the stairs, and
so
you had to get ladders
space
to
with all these
traverse the gap in the stairs to get further up.
And I was looking for my own little
despite all the difficulties,
trapdoor entrance to my,
we seemed to be
my
managing.
Studio, which was in this place somewhere. And I found it, and I opened
and
it.
And actually, I had quite a
and
feeling
I found
of
my way downstairs
almost
was
omnipotence
by building materials of some kind.
Reminds me of a dream I had
as
a few nights ago.
Someone was doing some building
climbing up this very long ladder, which just went straight
down,
into the sky.
Down my entrance. And so I wasn't able to.
I think
I
had to.
I was very angry and I wanted to complain.
130 steps, and I was partly reminded by the magnification of that.
There was a bit of an anarchy in the air, and also it was Sunday. So I just walked around, and I found another door.
Ladder steps.
And I opened up that door, and
so I went
that
up and
door
up and up.
Then
when I got
to
the top, there was one of those little drawer cabinets where
Mediterranean
there's a frame, but the drawers are actually canvas or strong linen or something.
And a sea stretching out.
And I had to fit into the top drawer, and I couldn't quite pull it out, so I had to kind of fold my body into this very, very thin, narrow,
not
just
find.
And yet I was at the top of this ladder, and that was the job I had, was to kind of squirm my way inside. And
they were sort of, they were spiraling around the ball, but it was incredibly intricate. Beautiful structure, which I found very moving. And then I noticed where the ladders on the stairs were sort of broken or only half formed.
You're talking about how many steps there were on the ladder.
Microcosmic.
This reminds me, there's a number in my dream.
And I was wondering,
it's really hard to remember.
You know, what kind of stresses?
But I think it was 1993.
They were never perfectly formed for some reason. But that image of the broken stairs reminded me of this imperfect but perfectly beautiful cellular structure.
And the other word that I was meant to remember was IDA. But again, I don't know why I was meant to remember that. Maybe that was IDER. I was travelling all night as well. I can't remember everywhere I went, but I know I was just travelling. At one part of the dream, I was in uniform, like I was some sort of representative. and I was checking in to fly, and I only had this white cloth bag with an enormous big brown sort of nut in it. Two palms printed on the outside of the bag, which I can see really clearly. Other points of the dream, still in the uniform, still with the nut. I was driving through somewhere very hot. Dusty, the windows were open, so I could really feel the heat entering the car, like almost like another passenger. Travelling to a funeral, and when if I was interacting with anyone, I would say I was travelling to the funeral of Mother Earth. And I obviously had to deliver the nut to the funeral. I had a purpose, whichever bit of the journey I was on, there was a purpose to it. And the other reoccurring character was a young boy who I never saw his face, but I could tell you what trainers he was wearing, his trousers, and he had a really beautiful kind of golden glow. He had very white blonde hair.
Grey.
Turquoise, blue.
Brown.
Yellow.
Blue.
And he was really happy, and I kept seeing him. I saw him at the airport, noticed him. He was by the side of the road randomly in various places I was driving through. So he was a reoccurring figure. So it felt highly symbolic. It was a very potent dream, and I felt that it had been sort of, it sounds a bit strange, but I felt it had been given to me because of the context of where I am. I didn't necessarily feel it was my dream.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet.
Radia.fm.
That was One Thought Fills Immensity by artist Sarah Washington, originally produced for the Radia Network. For more information on Sarah Washington, this piece, and radio art, visit the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.